Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Rogers, and this is Tell the Others. I wanted to create a place for meaningful conversation, life lessons, and parenting hacks. Sometimes I chat to interesting people, sometimes I answer questions about parenting or life stuff, and sometimes I just rant. These episodes are filled with stories and insights that made me say, ugh, I just have to tell the others. So let's dive in to hear what we can learn today.
An anonymous post on Facebook that says, hi everyone, we've been on the parenting transformation for 2 years now. It's been a, I'm glad that was helpful. It's been a rough road, but successful. However, unfortunately, we seem to have lost our way recently with boundaries, something we aren't sure if we've ever got right, to be honest. So our 16-year-old Spicy, diagnosed ADHD and medicated, daughter has started doing the following, and we have given countless chances and warnings that we won't let this continue. However, she ignores the warnings and just shrugs off her behavior when it's repeated. Some of the behavior is sleeping in on school days, regular days off school, claiming she is sick, no regard for her curfew during the week or at weekends, no regards for rules such as tidying up after you've been cooking or having no more than two friends sleep over at one time. She's been coming in at anywhere between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. on the weekends, sneaking lots of friends in, having friends come over at 2 a.m. They eat all the food and leave loads of mess in the living areas. Last night, she came in at 5 a.m. and said her and her friends had been mugged. A car pulled over and demanded phones and money. I've tried so many times, so just come at this from a place of worry and you're not safe to be out at that time, etc. But now I'm just feeling a total lack of respect for the rules and our home. Please tell me how to set these boundaries so she will take us seriously. We're feeling totally lost again. It's also neat to read some of the comments too that other parents, especially those of teenagers, put in response to this. So I think it's always nice to hear from parents that have older kids that are further down the road that have gone through this sort of stuff themselves, and to hear them say, yes, we've been there. Or like with the last question, you know, yep, my kid didn't go to school for 2 years. It was hell. And then we got there. Yeah. They figured out what they wanted to study and we got, you know, medication, or they started therapy or whatever. We got a pony. I don't know. And things improved. I think it's always nice to hear from people, that you went through it too, and that things got better. And so this is, I think, one of the things that's cool about the internet and cool about the way that we can share experience and information these days, is like the last question about, you know, doing homework and being motivated and stuff. So universal, right? We remember that when we were teenagers, us being like that, having friends like that. And same with this question about the 16-year-old just doing what she wants. Classic. And I want to say that the classic textbook, like, this is teenagers, and why I use that analogy all the time of, I want to go swimming, but I don't want to get wet. Like, this is teenagers. And when you feel your brain want to say those things of like, I'm being so disrespected, they're so rude, they're so whatever, you know, fill in the blank, criticism. When you feel your brain want to do that, you remind yourself, this is teenagers. I'm not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything wrong. Nobody's broken. This is teenagers, and this is part of what growing up looks like. So with Miss ADHD, I'm going to start there because ADHD is very, very tricky for the teenage brain, because a lot of the things that the teenage brain already sucks at, impulse control, emotional regulation, consequence, logic, reasoning, forward planning, all of those things, the teenage brain really, really struggles with. The ADHD brain really, really struggles with. So you add that combination and voila, you have a lovely combination for exactly what you're saying in this question. That, I mean, and you're even bringing in time and time blindness, which is a whole thing with ADHD, which basically means the ADHD brain has a hard time calculating time, either in how long something's going to take So that would look like I have to go to IKEA to get something. How long is that going to take? I don't know, 30 minutes. And ADHD brain doesn't calculate the time properly. Well, some ADHD brains don't calculate the time properly, or it might calculate it way too excessive. Go, oh, that's going to take 3 hours. You know, the anxious ADHD brain might go more that route, or it will misjudge it in terms of leaving it to the last minute, which is a common one with ADHD brains, because it's the rush, the urgency that then kicks in the dopamine, which is then what kicks in the action. And so for a lot of people with ADHD, the panic, rush, urgent crisis is what tends to fuel them and motivate them to get things done. They don't want it to be that way. Why would you choose that? But the way that the dopamine works in the receptors in the brain for some ADHD brains is such that the last minute crisis is what makes them do things. So deadlines, you know, they'll leave everything to the last minute. They'll do assignments the night before, that sort of thing is how some ADHD brains are wired. So, and we have this nice combination, right, in her question of coming home, not calculating curfew properly, saying that they were mugged. And here's the thing, like, as you so clearly are living and experiencing, she's going to do what she's going to do, obviously. The thing that I hear that you're not saying in your question, but what I hear and read between the lines is, what's the punishment, Heidi? And you use the word boundaries, which I always think whenever I hear the word boundaries, I think the camouflage word that's actually written in there is, what's the appropriate punishment? I want to have punishment. I don't think that's what you mean. I think that's what it feels like in our heart. That's what we want to do. I'm thinking if she was my kid, I totally would want to be like, Heidi, give me the punishment that's, you know, kosher. What's the punishment that's acceptable? You know, can I take her phone? Can I ground her? Like, what can I do that's going to make her change? And I get it. I would too want to be threatening her, punishing her, making her change her behavior in ways that are more palatable to me and don't stress me out. I'd be totally stressed if my kid was out till 5 a.m. 100%. 100%. I would not like that. I would find it very hard to not lose my cool. I'd find it very hard to not go into how I was parented and how I was raised, which I think is something we got to look at. Always, 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 always in parenting, you have to reflect. Well, you don't have to. The invitation is there. And trust me, it will make your life a lot easier if you go into this blind spot quicker rather than later. How would this have been handled in my family growing up? Whatever the question is, but specifically teenager questions, how would this have been handled in my family growing up? And so you, since it was anonymous, I don't know who it was, but you parents, ask yourself that. What would my parents have done if I came home at 5 a.m., said I'd been mugged, if I had people coming over, sleeping over, blah, blah, blah? How would that have been handled? What would I have done? What would my parents have done? And if phones had been around then, would they have confiscated my phone? Would they have hit me? What would they have done? The main reason of why that's important to do that sort of exercise is because that will reveal a lot of what's driving your behavior, what's motivating you. Because if you came from a strict household, or you came from a punishy household, or you came from a if you get caught, you're going to get in big trouble household, that little person, let's call it 15-year-old you, when you were 15, they're what's motivating this. They're the one, that part, that voice in your head of your 15-year-old self is thinking. Now, all of this is unconscious, obviously. But that 15-year-old you is looking at your teenager going, when dad finds out that you did that, oh my God, you are going to get such a beating. Oh my gosh. When mom hears that you left the kitchen a mess like that and you had four people over, I do not want to be home for that. That is going to be World War III. You are so dumb. You are just going to get absolutely annihilated by them. Gosh. That's what's going on. That teenager you is watching them, trying to protect them from the wrath of mom and dad or the police. If you got arrested, say, when you were a teenager, there are these younger parts of ourselves that are often dictating. There's younger parts of ourselves that are driving, that are trying to be the parent. It's important to know that. It's important to know your triggers. It's important. This is why I'm always saying to parents, like, do your own therapy, do your own work, do your own work, do your own work. Because so often, our blind spots and our unprocessed stuff from our childhood is what comes out in our parenting and what our kids lovingly bring out in us. And the mirror that our children shine on us and hold up to us is a mirror. So they're holding up to us our stuff, our crap, our unhealed, unprocessed stuff from our childhood, our wounds. Annoying. I know. I know. So, what do we do? I saw that Leah put in one of the comments that she had asked a similar question a few years ago about her son. I remember that. It was, I think his stuff was more about drinking. And I think. And she wrote in the comment that Heidi said something like something counterintuitive about treating him more like an adult, and it was helpful. And so what that comment means, I'll elaborate a little bit more on that, because I think out of context, it's like, what now? You know, this kid's 16, she's not an adult. But I'm like, yeah, well, she's gonna be 18 in 2 years. So it's like, then what? What's the I find the number thing is so silly. I know some, 18-year-olds that have the maturity of a 9-year-old. I know some 40-year-olds that have the maturity of a 12-year-old. I know some 9-year-olds that are more mature than 35-year-olds. Age is a number. I think if she was 18, let's start there. If she was 18, how would you handle this? She's legal, right? And at least in Australia, 18 drinking age. Thank God. The driving age is not 16 like it is in the States. I'm so grateful for that, that we have a later driving age in Australia at 18. What would you do? You'd probably have some sort of roommate kind of rules of like, dude, if you're going to come home, like you would if we were all roommates and we were all 19, we would say, dude, if you're going to bring people home, like, and friends, and you're going to party on at home after you're at the bar, like, that's fine, but be quiet. Like, some of us have to work tomorrow, or I mean, I remember having this conversation with roommates of mine, or don't leave crap all over the kitchen, because then in the morning when I have to get up and go to work, like it's shared space, let's respect each other's spaces kind of thing, right? Like we would have those conversations with the housemate or a house guest if a friend was staying in town that was, traveling around. And they did the same sort of behavior, what would you say? You'd have a conversation with them and go, dude, I'm so glad you're having a fun time with life, but it's not so fun for me to clean up your crap afterwards. And then that's something else I'm mindful of too with a 16-year-old girl. Friendships are tricky for 16, anybody, teenager, friendships are tricky. But ADHD, neurodivergent kids often have a lot of issues with friendships, with the impulse control chip of ADHD, right? Sometimes saying stuff and not thinking, just saying stuff, whatever comes, off the top of my head, I'm just going to say it out loud and not filter. Yikes. Can sometimes get themselves into crappy situations where they say stuff and then regret it. So if she has friends, I'm kind of like, well, this is cool. I'm glad she has friends. I'm glad she has people that want to come over. I'm glad that I'm that house. I'm glad that I'm, the somewhat the safe house that they can all come crash at rather than, I don't know, so and so's very unsafe parents that are, I don't know, drug affected or there's, abusive adults in the home or something like that. I'm grateful that I'm the crash house, I guess. At least I know where they are, I guess, rather than them being in a park or somewhere random. But again, I go back to connection. And if you do the punishment route, take her phone, blah, blah, blah. If you go that route, good luck to you. It doesn't work. I've walked this path so many times, you guys, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of teenagers and their parents over my career. It doesn't work. It's the fantasy, man, that we just all would love the idea to say, if you don't come home at your curfew at, midnight, I'm going to take your phone, or I'm not going to give you an allowance, whatever. It drives you further and further apart, I feel it's oozing in the question, the temptation of we really want to punish her, and we don't know how, because since we've met you, we know punishments don't work, but And to that, I want to go, I know you're not doing it wrong. It's hard because it's hard. And when you don't parent through punishment, it's a lot harder because we have to have conversations, ew, and compromise, ew, and talk about what you want and what I want. Conflict management, conflict resolution, gross. None of us know how to do that because none of our parents knew how to do that. So then I come in and I go, all right, guys, we're not doing punishment anymore. We're not doing shaming anymore. We're not doing threats. We're doing conversation. And everyone's brain is like, ew, no. I know. It's a lot harder. Parenting through control, so much easier. Easy way. Easy way. Threats, punishment, I'm gonna take your phone, easy way. Easy way out. But doesn't work. And I'm playing the long game. I want you to have a relationship with your kids when they are 30 and 40 and don't need to hang out with you, don't have to hang out with you. I want them to choose to hang out with you. I'm trying to build you a relationship for life, not just for the next year. And you want to play the long game? Then that's having conversations. So not on a morning that she's hungover or tired, but at a time where you're driving somewhere that she wants to go, a record shop. You're going to, I don't know, go get ice cream, whatever. And in the car saying, dude, I'm pumped. You got friends. Yay. You have people who you want to hang out with and want to come back to our house. Yay. The whole leaving the kitchen like a bomb site thing, though, that sucks. Not a fan of that. And the whole being loud thing, not a fan of that. That sort of sucks at 2 a.m. But do you know the other thing? I can't sleep. Like, your curfew is whatever, midnight. And if you're not home at 12:30, I'm like freaking out that you're dead in a ditch somewhere. And then by 1, I'm really nervous. And then by 2, I like want to call the cops, even if you text me to say, I'm at blah blah blah. This is where I am. I'm safe. I just didn't calculate how long it was going to take me, or the trains aren't running anymore, so I can't catch a train. Just letting me know what's going on would be great so that I can at least sleep. Or I can come pick you up. I don't mind to come pick you up. It's just real hard for me to kind of do this whole 5 a.m., 2 a.m. I don't know where you are, whatever thing. Like, the curfew is there to keep you safe. The curfew is there to not make your life hell, but just to put guardrails in, bumpers in. Nothing, dude, I was a teenager. You were a teenager. Nothing good happens after midnight. We all know this. That's when all the trouble and mischief happens after midnight. And say, I would say that, dude, I was a teenager too. I'm not stupid. And I remember all the lies I would tell my mom to try to extend my curfew. A car broke down or mugging. I don't, maybe the mugging is true. I don't know. Let's go with believing them, because if that did happen and we don't believe her, that's horrible. So I would rather go, wow, you got mugged. Oh my gosh, we should go to the police then. Sleeping in on school days, regular days off school, claiming she's sick. Yeah, teenager. And it's hard. It's so hard with teenagers because we, as the adult with the fully developed brain, can see further down the track. You are blowing up your life right now, and you're making choices that are going to impact you long term, or you're going to have to repeat this grade, or you're not going to be able to graduate. We can see that stuff and they can't. But that's not their fault. It's how their brain is developed at this point. At 16, her brain is right in the middle of like massive construction. She doesn't care about this is going to impact my score of what uni I get into or my future job prospect. She don't care. So it's like, how do you make someone care about something they don't care about? You know what I mean? You don't. You can't. Well, you can, but it's at the cost of the relationship. Think about adults you had in your life, teachers, coaches, you know, sporting, church, whatever, people in your life that you were connected to and you listened to and you respected and they could influence you. What were their traits? What were they doing? They were cool. They trusted you. They saw the good in you. They knew you were trying your best. They didn't shame you. And then you think about the ones that you weren't connected to. What was happening there? They were shaming, they were punishy, they tried to motivate you to do stuff you didn't want to do, right? So like, why do we continue? AirPods are reading a text message to me, which is not helpful. I think we just have to come back to reality, which is you have a 16-year-old girl who has ADHD. Being 16 is very hard. Very hard. I know I can hear somebody in the back laughing at me. No, it's not. They have Uber. They have Uber Eats. Their lives are so much easier than it was when we were growing up. Yeah. I know, I know. It's a different kind of world, though, you guys, than what we grew up with. The pressures that they feel, the phone, internet, like there's just so much that is so different than when we were growing up. And it's hard. It's really hard to be a teenager these days, I think. So grateful that I grew up in the 80s and 90s in an era before we had phones and the internet. It's really hard. It's really hard for them. But I think I would appeal to her in a relationship sense and a connection sense and say, like, dude, you're 16. You're almost an adult. And we got to start kind of rolling like we would as adults. And if you're in a share house, you know, in a roommate situation, there's like rules and parameters that kind of happen about what time people come home and don't come home and how you leave the state of the kitchen. So can we like work together on figuring out some ways that work and what don't work? I think what I'm saying is, and obviously too, she's so clear in showing us how feisty she is and how spicy. And that she's gonna do what she's gonna do her own thing. So this to me is a real kid who needs collaboration, discussion, compromise, autonomy, 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 autonomy. I would imagine that as soon as she gets a whiff that you are trying to make me do something I don't want to do, she'll dig her heels in. So let's have a conversation about it. And the night of the mugging, if we're in a connected way, let's talk about that and go, dude, what happened that night? Like, I want to help you. And if that's going to the police, that's fine. If it's not true, and you just said that to get out of being in trouble, and I would say that with a smile on your face, that's fine. But I want to know what, like, dude, what is happening? What's going on? And you don't need to lie to me and say stuff like that. You can say, we were having a lot of fun, and I didn't want to leave where we were. That's why we came home at 5. You don't need to tell me crazy, elaborate stories, okay? I just want to know that you're safe and what's going on. That's where I'm coming from. And a lot of times when I've told parents to have that kind of conversation and do it with a smile on their face, their teenager will bust out some crazy story that they're like, that's what was happening. But they're let in. They're given the secret info of what happened. Whereas if you are punishy and shamey and harsh, you're not going to get any of the stories. She's going to do what she's going to do. And remember too, I say this one a lot too, I know. When your kid is about 12, you get fired from your job as parent, and you have the opportunity to be rehired as a consultant. Your role changes massively at around 11 and 12, shifting out of parent and into advisor. My hope for you, and with all the stuff that I teach, is that when they are 11 or 12, you get rehired. They hire you, as a consultant and as an advisor, if you play your cards right. Mind you can be fired at any time. It's a very volatile work situation. But my hope is that you are hired as a consultant and an advisor. How do you do that? Connected relationship. Think about it. If you hired a consultant or an advisor who punished you, like they billed you, they dinged you financially, or they said, I'm not coming to any more meetings with you, or you need to stay in the office for a whole week, you'd be like, screw you. I'm not going to hire you as my consultant. I'll hire someone else. I'll hire my friends. I'll hire the internet. That could be my consultant and my advisor. Yikes. What kind of consultant or advisor would you want to hire? One who is patient, understanding, really trying to help figure out my business and how to help it grow. When I make mistakes, doesn't go, oh my gosh, you're such an idiot. They go, oh, yeah, that's normal. Everybody does that at business, right? You would want a consultant who was a good cheerleader, praised you. You felt like they understood you. You don't want a consultant that you feel like doesn't get you or get your business, right? And that's the same thing with our 11, 12-year-olds onward. The parenting piece is done. It's still parenting because there's still rules and conversations and, boundaries, yes, but it's totally different than what it was when they were little. It's totally different. I think sometimes we forget that as parents that we have to evolve too. We're growing as well, Like my daughter Paige, I was a pro at Paige at 2, and then she turned 3. Well, I'd never had Paige at 3. I'd had Paige at 1 and 2. I didn't know what Paige was like at 3. And then Paige at 8, 9, 10. I didn't know what she was like at 8. And then I got the hang of 8, and then she turned 9. I had never done Paige at 9. I'd only done her at everything up to that, right? So every age you're a rookie. Every age is the first time you've done with your kid. And you can't even say, I've raised 3 girls and then now this is my fourth. That's all different. That's, Susie at 15, Jenny at 15, Katie at 15. That's all different kids. And just because I've done Paige at whatever age, then when her sister comes up through that age, different kid. Ew. Again. If we had known this, none of us would have signed up. So that means it's always changing. Every year is different. I've never done this year with this kid. I don't know what Paige at 8 is like. I don't know what 9, I don't know what Paige at 20. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I only know my kid up to the age that they are. And so then whenever any new age comes, even if they're my 10th kid, it still is new because they're a unique individual. And what worked with this kid doesn't work with this kid. Hello, we all know that have a spicy kid. Yeah, but I parented all these kids. I've parented, 4 kids and then the fifth, and I don't know what happened. Yeah, wild, because they're a different person and different stuff works on different people. So, and if this kid has an older sibling, for sure, these parents are doing that. This isn't what it was like with her sister. This isn't what it was like with her brother. They just came home at curfew. It's like, well, duh, yeah. Older siblings tend to be more rule followy,
If you're a parent or a professional who works with children and you want my help in improving things with the kiddos in your life, or if you're simply a human being feeling kind of stuck and maybe kind of overwhelmed, my online programs have lots of resources, transformative content, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and a supportive community. If you want to learn more, just go to HeidiRogers.com. All right, friends, thank you as always for tuning in today. Our time is our most precious asset, so I truly appreciate you sharing your time with me. I'll see you right back here for the next episode of Tell the Others.